All righty. Amen. Praise God. Excellent worship service. Thank you all. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, praise team. As Pastor Marilyn says, thank you all who do service here at the church. Amen. For those who are in the back, children's ministry, those who are actually counting the money and making sure everything's in the right place, thank you all once again. Let's start this morning off with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we just thank you for this service, Lord God, and this time. We ask that your word would come forth, Lord God, with power and understanding, that you would touch each heart here, Lord God, and deliver us a message that would change our lives. In the precious name of Jesus we pray, let's all say amen. Amen. The title of today's sermon is Let Us Be Transformed. Let us be transformed. And our scriptures are Proverbs 22:6 and Ephesians 6:4. If you take a moment to find that in your Bibles, that'd be great. And once you do have it, please stand because we are going to read the scripture. It's Proverbs 22:6 and Ephesians 6:4. Thank you, Jordan. Someone said, what page? I do not know the page that we have in our Bible. Jordan, do you know the page? There you go. Amen. And once you do have it, please stand if you are able. Amen. All right. See, everybody's getting there. Proverbs 22:6, and it's Ephesians 6:4. All right, it reads, Proverbs 22:6 reads, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Then flipping the pages, give you 0.8 seconds to get there to Ephesians 6:4. It reads, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So, when God showed me these scriptures, you know, first of all, I want to say, as a man and as a father, I like things nice and simple. You know, I come home, kiss the wife, kick the dog, kick the nephew, right? That's what I do. Simple rules, easy to follow. Proverbs 22:6 is easy. Start your children off the way they should go. Foot there. Train them up right. As a man and as a father, this means train them up in the way I think they should go. My way. Simple. I say do this, they go do this. Right? Simple. Then God has to go and complicate things on me with Ephesians 6:4. He says, do not exasperate your children. I say, come on, God, really? Exasperate, to excite their anger, to get them enraged, to provoke them, God doesn't want us to break our promises to him. He doesn't want us to neglect them. He doesn't want us to mindlessly give them everything they want in life so that they lose respect for us. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do you always say yes to daddy's little girl or yes to daddy's favorite son? Are you so strict that your child is afraid that anything done wrong will cause dad to be angry? Now, to make this even tougher, God is calling fathers out, men. He's calling us out. He didn't say mothers. He didn't say parents. He said fathers. Those of us who stand in a place and look after another in a paternal way. If you are a father in a house, This is you. That's me. And he's placed all this stuff in our hands. So, you know, I'm talking to God about this thing. So I say, even though God is calling me out, being a man, I think I got this. I got this. No problem. Some of you may be thinking, you know, what do you mean you got this? Your children are all grown, other than the 15-year-old nephew I have there in the household. They're all grown, right? So I'm done. Well, fatherhood doesn't end until God calls me home. So as of today, Father's Day, I am still a father, and so are you. But, so I still got this, just me. I got it. God has given me the scriptures, the rules to follow, but no problem. I will just tell my children what to do, no matter their age, Mikey and Marcus. And they will do it, right? No, it didn't work, right? Well, even at my age, which you don't need to know at this time, this kind of misunderstanding happens. I speak the same language, but what my children and grandchildren hear is totally different, if they hear me at all. Here's an example, like Americans and British. We supposedly all speak English, right? But there's a misunderstanding. For instance, when an American says pants, jeans, trousers. When the British say pants, they mean underwear. So, there's a big difference. This is the same true when we're talking to our children. At first, it seems like we're all speaking English. But on a closer inspection, it becomes clear that children and parents speak entirely different dialects. In the interest of better transgenerational communication, here's some key phrases for you, and their translations. I cannot finish my hamburger, meaning your child has eaten enough. Or I cannot finish my fish, meaning your child, who does not like fish in the first place, figures they've eaten enough to satisfy you and they still get dessert. I can't finish my dessert, meaning your child is definitely sick and you should be taken to the doctor ASAP, right? I didn't do it. Translation, it has not been conclusively proven that I did it. Do it. And we know that's true, and we always have to prove it. Evidence, film, witnesses, everything. It's like going to court with your children. My mom said it was okay. Translation means, I'm going to ask mom as soon as you say yes. I think all parents can testify that their children or grandchildren do speak a different language than they do, than we do. And it's one of the reasons that it's very difficult to bring up children, right? It's easy. We love our children, we love our grandchildren, we treat them well, yet sometimes they turn away from us. Sometimes they journey on roads that we just don't understand or approve of. There's, you know, we can give classic examples, which we don't have to mention here. But in the end, if our hearts are open, if the foundation is well laid, we see them return to us, much as the prodigal son did. He returned to his father. This seems to be the record of things. If the door is open, if we open the door, fathers, they will normally pass through it one day. Not right away, but they will pass through it. I think part of the problem that we have as parents is that it's not that we have difficult children, or even that they speak a different language than we do, though all that is true. I'm convinced a portion of the problem is that we as fathers, as parents, we don't know the way our children should go. We actually do not understand that way. And more importantly, even when we know that way, we so often fail to live it. And so our children become angry, distant, alienated from us, and from God. Like when our children stop talking to us about their lives. Who's the new boyfriend? Who's the new girlfriend? What's happening in school? They stop coming to church. They make excuses not to be at church. So at this point, we have identified two problems. Language, whether body or verbal, can draw us close to our children or push us away. And sometimes we actually don't know the way our children should go. And there's two distinct problems we have to solve. So what do we do? Well, we're talking about fathers today. So as men, we must actually live godly lives. We must keep promises concerning our relationship to the Lord. Be a prayer warrior. If we're not praying every day, more than once a day, no meaning you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you give God a 15, 20 minute prayer, and that's the last time you talk to God. That is not what you're supposed to be doing. That is not a prayer warrior. More than once a day, then we're missing the target, gentlemen. Twice a day, three times a day, all day, continually all day. As it comes to mind, pray. We must be mature in the faith and be the spiritual head of the family as God has called us to be. Be a man under self-control, bearing all the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. If you don't know what those fruits are, jump into Galatians 5:22 and see where you stand. We as men must commit ourselves to build strong biblical marriages and support the mission of Christ with our time and our talent and with our prayer. How many of us are actually doing that to the fullest? I could tell you a story about that, but I can tell you right now, I am convicted fully on my talent and how I support the mission of Christ. As men of Christ, we must devote ourselves to demonstrating the love of Christ in our community. So how do you respond and interact with people on the street or at your job? Are you a different person on the street than you are in the church? Do you greet the people on the street the same way you greet me? Just asking, just wondering. As a man of Christ, we are to live moral and virtuous lives, based on scriptural principles. So, this is really kind of tough, guys. When you see a woman walking down the street, what are your thoughts? Does everyone know you are married? Anyone that speaks to you at work, they know you're married, or they don't know you're married? What would you do? What would you not do? That's not a sin to save your marriage. Have you done that? The result will not only be the renewal of our own lives as men, it will bring renewal to our families, to our churches, to our community, and ultimately to our world. And you know, it's hard for us to see that's working, but it is working, because the secret of all successful marriages, of all successful parenting, always rests in two sets of hands. Two sets of hands. First and foremost, in the hands of God. And secondly, in our hands, because He gave it to us. If we allow those hands to be linked together, the results are incredible. Let me give you an example of what happens when men are not linked with God. Anybody going on vacation soon? And the father's gonna drive? This story's for you. The story's told about a father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign that read, "Road closed, do not enter." So he pulls out his map and his Google and says, "Hey, that's a shortcut. We should take this way." The man proceeds around the sign because he was overconfident. It would save them time. And of course, his wife was resistant to the adventure. But he didn't listen. There was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his gift of discernment that God had given him. His proud smile quickly replaced with a humble sweat when the road led to a washed out bridge. He turned the car around, retraced his tracks to the main road. When they arrived at the original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign: "Welcome back, stupid." Sometimes we can have the utmost confidence in ourselves, arrogance even, to figure out issues and fix problems, but we let ourselves down. One of the things about being a father who is linked one hand to God and the other to his family, a man knows his transformation is moving in the right direction when he not only speaks to God and his family, but he hears God and he hears his family. The important thing is you have to hear your family. How can you know what to do, which way they should go, unless you hear your family and you hear God? The gaps in language fall to the side when we place our full confidence in God and not ourselves. The confidence in God, not ourselves. Don't be confident that you have chosen the right path. Be confident that God has shown you the right path. That's the difference. You can be confident in God, but don't be confident in yourself. Be confident that God has shown you the right path and you're going the way he sent you. Confidence is only as good as the object it's placed in. So you place confidence in yourself, that's probably not a good place to put it at. When going through life, the wise person places their confidence in an unchanging, all-powerful God. Lives are changed, lives improve, families are healed. If we lead godly lives, then the odds are that our children will lead godly lives as well. Maybe not right away, sometimes right away, but eventually they will. In Ephesians and again in Colossians, Paul shares the word that he received from the Lord concerning children and their parents, and he writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go right with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth," a promise that God has made. Then he writes, the calling out of fathers again, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Someone once said, "A boy loves his mother, but will follow his father." It's not easy being a parent. It's not easy being a father or a mother. It has incredible challenges, incredible pains, as well as incredible joys. We can do no better thing for our children than personally walking in the way we should go, to be mature in the faith, to be continually opening to the transforming power of Christ, to listen to God, to listen to your family. Some time ago, I heard a story about a man and his young son that became very ill. After his young boy had undergone an exhaustive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. The youngster had accepted Christ as his savior. So the minister knew that death would usher him into glory. But he wondered how to inform his son, one that's so young, that he would soon die. After earnestly seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit, he went with a heavy heart through the hospital ward to his son's bedside. First, he read a passage of scripture and had a time of prayer with his son. Then he gently told him that the doctors could promise him only a few more days to live. He said, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus, my son?" Blinking away a few tears, the little boy said bravely, "No, not if he's like you, Dad. Not if he's like you, Dad." That's the transformation we have to go through, gentlemen. When our children see us, they have to see Jesus. They have to see God. That's what they need to see. Brothers, best thing we can do for our children, our grandchildren, is for each one of us to personally be right with God and to walk in the way of the Lord, to never be satisfied, but to continually seek to be transformed into the image of Christ, to finish this marathon of life, the race laid before us, and to finish it very well, to give our all every day, so that when we cross over to the other side of eternity, to collapse into our Savior's arms, knowing we had no more to give, and to hear our Savior's voice, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race." Amen. That is our story for today. So,